We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com. We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Welcome to SEO 101, your introductory course on search engine optimization. So, turn on your computers, open your minds, grab your mouse, and get ready to get back to the basics. SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. Is now in session.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm, episode number 305. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is John Carcutt, the director of SEO and social media for Advanced Local.
Hey, Ross.
How's it going? Hey. Good. I'm much better. Still, you got a, for those that don't know, I'm not exactly publishing it everywhere. I got that damn flu, and then it turned into pneumonia, so it's been a rough couple weeks, but I'm back.
You sound like you're feeling better, so that's good.
Yes, good old glorious antibiotics. You know, I read about them, and you know, before antibiotics, pneumonia was almost not a death sentence, but 30 to 40% of people would die from pneumonia. Scary stuff, man.
That's crazy.
Yeesh. So, yeah, I'm not looking forward to the day where apparently it is coming where antibiotics will be, they won't work anymore.
They'll have something else by then. They'll be able to just clone you a new body and just move your consciousness into it and it'll be healthy.
Yes, if Google has anything to say, it'll be exactly. Branded Google right on my forehead or something. Well,
they do have, Google does have that project under the, it used to be under the X project group where they're trying to, the whole goal of the project how to prolong life.
That's what I mean. Ray Kurzweil.
Yeah.
He's all for the, what's it called? The
singularity.
Thing? Yeah. Singularity. Yeah. And he said just the other day, in fact, that he still believes we're on track for 2045 for the singularity.
Well, you got to tell people what the singularity is now.
It's the point, I believe, as I understand it, I could be wrong, but it's at the point when artificial intelligence finally matches human intelligence and will become real, become live.
Yeah. Isn't Kurzweil the guy who's takes 200 some pills a day? He's like really rigid. He swears he's going to live to be 180, 190 years old.
Yeah, he's absolutely infatuated, obsessed, perhaps. Obsessed, definitely, with living long enough to be there for the singularity and have his consciousness transferred to a machine.
Nice.
Obsessed. And that's the person they put ahead of technology for Google or research and technology. Anyway, pretty fascinating dude. Very brilliant. Very brilliant. He's the one that's been putting together the systems that we see on our email, if you're using Gmail, where you'll see automated responses to people's emails. He gives you options for, and they're pretty good. They're pretty accurate. That's his system that he's been working on.
I think with super smart comes definitely a degree of super crazy.
Totally.
Yeah.
And narcissistic, like to no end. I mean, this guy, he's got his own set of doctors, that look after him. Like, geez. Anyway, there's some pretty interesting stories on him online, and even on Netflix, there's a whole special on him. So
I wonder if Danny's going to get to work with him now.
Yeah. Excellent segue. Excellent. Yes. Well, Danny Sullivan, all those out there who don't know who he is in our industry, he is, well, I guess he was the figurehead of the SEO industry and the one who really would talk to Google and have the best connections with them. Well, he did retire, and now he has been, it's still kind of weird to say, but brought onto Google to be the figurehead of Google with our community.
And I don't know if it's our community as much as he's brought in to teach people about search. And I get the feeling it's not necessarily us as the SEO community or webmaster community. It's going to be more the general public. That's my impression.
Yeah.
And it's probably the impression he's trying to give, but you know he's going to get wrangled into being the new Matt Cutts.
Oh, yeah, totally. And I can't wait to see how he handles. I mean, how weird would that be to be on the other side and all of a sudden not being able to say anything?
Well, you know what he described it like in one of his posts about talking about it? He described it in Game of Thrones terms. Do you watch Game of Thrones, Ross? I don't remember.
Of course, yes.
Okay, so he said, do you remember when Jon Snow was infatuated with that girl, the wildling from the other side of the wall? I can't remember her name, the redheaded girl.
Yeah.
Well, he was saying he's from the north. He understands, and that's where the whole phrase "you know nothing, Jon Snow" came from, because it was like going on the other side of the wall and seeing the real north, right? Because Jon Snow is from the sunny side of the wall north, and then he goes to the frozen side of the wall north, and it's a completely different aspect of everything he thought he knew, and that's how he was kind of describing his transition into reporting and talking about Google and what they do to actually being behind the scenes and seeing what they do. He was just today, he posted about it. He went to a rankings fair. I'm like, what's a rankings fair? Basically, it's very similar to a science fair where the engineers will sit at tables with these poster boards of things that they think will improve the rankings, and people will walk around and talk about them with each other. And I can imagine these freaking brilliant engineers from Google sitting in a high school gymnasium with these,
pimples
these
poster and all.
Boards and these little volcanoes with like a baking soda.
Oh, I can totally picture it.
Yeah.
Well,
but it sounds amazing, though.
Yeah. I'm sure there's more than a few of us that are slightly jealous. It'd be a pretty impressive job. No, I don't think I'd want the job. But still, it's pretty
to
cool.
That point,
he's built for it, though. He's made for
that,
it.
But to that point, if anybody's interested, the same job that Gary Ish and John Mueller have, there's another opening. So you can be the next one of those guys, but you have to live in Zurich, I think, to do it.
Yeah.
So if you're interested.
I'm afraid I wouldn't get past the math exam. I would be kicked out in a heartbeat. Oh, God. Maybe my son could. He's getting there. He's much better for some reason than I don't get all that.
Is he helping you with your math homework?
Not yet, thankfully, and that'll be the end of the world when I have math homework. That's just now done. Anywho, pretty interesting news. I was a bit shocked. I thought I was kind of checking the date when he said he was moving to Google.
Yeah, see if it's April 1st. Yeah, I get it. But you know what's going to be really interesting is the day that Danny Sullivan is the guy that's sitting next to Chris Sherman at the Ask Google, session at the end of one of these search conferences in the seat that Matt Cutts used to sit in, right? That'll be the interesting day.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's going to be very interesting. I'm kind of wondering whether or not, I mean, I've got full confidence in Danny. He's obviously shown himself to be amazing what he does, but whether or not this will work out. It's got to be weird even for Google.
He's got a lot of close relationships in the industry. And you know those people that are those relationships are going to want to leverage this.
Yeah.
And he's going to have to fight against it. That's going to be really hard for him because there's a lot of close friends that are going to want to leverage his new position.
Well, and you got to wonder, will he want to, be evil? What if he's put in the position where he has to be kind of evil? Will you want to toe that line? I don't know. It's interesting. Yeah. I'd love to be a bug on that wall. He's going to be like, I can't say that. Or I don't know. Well, anyway, we beat that to death. But it is interesting.
Yeah. But there's a lot of other good stuff going on today because State of Search was recently. And apparently Gary just went nuts talking about stuff. So there's a lot of information that came out of that conference this year.
They are. So why don't you start off with the Google Suggests?
Oh, yeah. So one of the things that Gary talked about, and a lot of people tweeted it at the conference, and I guess it came up more than once at State of Search, that Google is using off-site sentiment analysis as a ranking factor. So for the longest time, we've known that sentiment analysis is there, but we've always been told that they don't use it as a ranking factor. Now it seems like it's come up at least twice in this last conference that they are using it as a ranking factor. And that's really critical to me because, you know, especially around local search, we're always talking about how important reviews are. And that's definitely a sentiment signal without a doubt. And we always talk about reviews in reference to local search. This, to me, makes it seem like even something as simple as reviews are going to have impact on the overall rankings, even outside of local search now. Because if they're using sentiment analysis across the board as a ranking factor, that honestly changes the game somewhat.
Yeah. You almost wonder whether or not there's a little bit of Google bombing that's going to come out of that. But...
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely room for some kind of manipulation there. How are they going to, ranks or review spamming is already an issue. This could actually really escalate it as an issue that not only that Google has to deal with, but businesses have to deal with in general.
Well, and negative SEO as well.
Yeah.
Just yikes. Okay. Wow. Another interesting piece then. So. Another piece from Gary Eish was about the top three ranking factors. So over the last, was it last year? Maybe last year, I don't know, it kind of blends together. But anyway, there was sort of a confirmation that there are three top ranking factors, links, content, and RankBrain. Now, RankBrain, for those that don't know, how would you describe that, John?
RankBrain is really just... It's the kind of like an AI piece to it that understands the query, if I'm remembering it correctly. Because again, it's been a long time since we talked about RankBrain.
It has. So it gets into it here. Maybe this will help too.
Yeah, it's more about the query from what I remember.
Yeah, it's understanding the logic of the query, I believe, and based on the sentiment and the semantic understanding of it. So in this case... I'll read a portion. It's a lot here. Gary Eish was interviewed by Jen Slegg over at SEM Post, and he was describing a query. I'll just read it here. The query was Porsche 911 in Norway on Norwegian Google, doing the search from Norway. The first position was the homepage for Porsche /911 that obviously had quite a few links. The second position was a very deep promotional site for Porsche 911. And Majestic SEO, for all those who don't know, had seen no links whatsoever to that particular result at all. No links at all. Not even internal links. But it still was ranking number two. Again, this is Gary. For me, that shows me that for that particular query, anchors... Sorry, I'm just trying to understand his reading here. Anchors as links were not that important, at least not for the second result. And we have tons and tons of ranking factors trying to figure out which will be the right result and boosting that result. Now, I'm going to skip to another part here. And this is the RankBrain part. Possibly. The other good example is RankBrain. RankBrain mostly affects, or I should say affects greatly... long tail queries where if we don't have enough other signals to rank the queries or rank the results, in that case, RankBrain will boost the living hell out of certain results just to make sure that we are serving relevant results for the users. even for the queries that we have never seen before, results we don't have ranking signals for. That's pretty clear that, you know, that RankBrain is stepping in whenever they don't have enough other data. And in this case, I find it kind of odd, but I guess Norway, there's not a lot of searches for Porsche 911, because you would think that there'd be other pages that would be more important with a lot more links than a promo page. Anyways, there's no example. I can't look at it and give any feedback on it. It's just a commentary.
But so when he says they don't have enough data, right, that to me makes me think, okay, there's definitely some kind of delay. And I guess there has to be a delay built in, but I really never thought about it from this perspective before. So when they first discover a page, and you know, we always talk about the discovery bump that the pages get, but there seems like there's a delay in when they discover a page to when they have enough information about it that could impact the index. Is that what you read out of that? But I wonder how long that delay is. Is that hours? Is it days?
I don't know. I haven't really thought of it in that way. I mean, I just see it as RankBrain instantaneously, I guess as soon as that first query happens, instantaneously providing a result, which is pretty damn amazing.
Yeah.
Like, there's no caching going on there. I mean, they are thinking about it in milliseconds, what page should be showing. Wow. This is just the tip of the iceberg and how much smarter Google's going to get over the next few years too. It's quite amazing.
Wait till it starts running your home.
Well, I've got a couple of those Google Home devices, but yeah, they're far from running my home. Thank goodness. I want to see a few more things worked out.
It's really, really interesting. Somebody posted a thing on my Facebook the other day that kind of relates to this, right? And they were talking about how their kid was asking them about some of the language he used around telephone conversation, right? About like, I'll get back to you, things that his kid asked him about. And he was explaining to his kid how telephones today are a lot of the language comes from the fact that before we used to have one phone in a house that you could, you know, when someone called it, you never knew who was going to answer. It could be the mom, the dad, one of the kids. You never really knew when you called a number who was going to answer, right? Then he explained even back further when a whole neighborhood would share a party line and everybody was on the same number in the whole neighborhood. And it makes you think about it as you go forward. We went from this technology where everybody shared a phone line to just a household share a phone line. Now every individual has their own phone. And then the next step is going to be beyond that to, you know, why do people actually have a phone anymore? And it's the same kind of thing. Technology, because it'll be direct to our brains. We'll just have to think about who we want to talk to. Right? But it's the same thing. Things are
then you'll get
so
that odd
smarter.
Fax call. Oh, God. Interior.
As soon as that happens, I'm sending you one of those, brother.
That'd be the worst. Okay, well, let's jump ahead here. Actually, we're timed for a break here. So we'll take a quick break, and then we're going to jump back into more info on some content. We'll be right back.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess. Is your website hacked? Is your website displaying error messages or loading slowly? Even if there are no signs of malicious activity, your site may still be compromised. Websites, like cars, require regular maintenance to perform at their best and not leave you stranded. At Fjorge, our website maintenance experts can help you assess which one of our maintenance plans will best support your needs. Visit fjorgedigital.com or call 612-877-3840 and get the support and protection your website and business deserve. That's fjorgedigital.com.
Book lovers and hundreds of compelling contemporary authors are heading to Miami for the 34th annual Miami Book Fair, Friday, November 17th through Sunday, November 19th. See in person amazing authors, including Vice President Joe Biden, Senator Al Franken, Russell Banks, Michael Eric Dyson, Armistead Maupin, Angela J. Davis, Scott Turow, Walter Isaacson, and many more. the 34th Annual Miami Book Fair. For more information, visit miamibookfair.com.
Hi, I'm Montel Williams. Most of you know me as a talk show host, but I'm also an author, actor, single father of four, avid snowboarder, and I'm also a medical marijuana patient. Living with multiple sclerosis, I'm in pain every day. Medical marijuana is my last resort, and it helps me when all other drugs have failed. If you'd like more information about medical marijuana, you can contact the Marijuana Policy Project at mpp.org or call 1-877-JOIN-MPP.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session. Only on webmasterradio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm, hosted by John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Local, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc.
So before we get into this next article, I want to remind you of the conversations we've had over and over again about your site and when you pruned a bunch of pages off your site and you just got rid of them because you thought they were old and outdated. Just want to set that foundation before you bring up this next article.
But also, don't forget all of the intricacies of that we discussed. It wasn't exactly the most standard situation.
Uh-huh. I know. I'm just saying. Uh-huh. Just want to remind you. Go ahead.
Yes, of course you do. No, you go ahead. You wrote it.
So another thing out of state of search that I'm sure Ross is very interested in at this moment is Google. Gary actually has mentioned that pruning content from a website is not safe. Instead, make it better. Basically, don't remove content if it's an issue, make it better. And I tease Ross about his site because we do have some discussions, but what he's really talking about is low quality content on your site. If you have a directory or a bunch of product pages that are really low quality and you get hit with some kind of a low quality type filter or penalty, instead of just deleting all those pages or 404ing them or redirecting them or just blocking them from search, they say that's not safe. And it's the not safe phrase that really caught my attention. Instead of not best practices, they say it's not safe, which is an interesting way to phrase that. But they say instead of getting rid of it, make them better.
In an ideal world, that's totally true. We've even mentioned that before. In this case, even Barry said at the end here, of course, sometimes it's not possible with your resources to improve all your low-quality content. Then you need to make a decision. And it's true. I mean,
But the decision is, do you want to fix some of them or get rid of all of them, right? Is that what he said, if I recall?
No.
What was his decision? The decision was, he said, you got to make a decision between A and B. What was A and B?
Oh, I see. Yes. Do you improve some of it or remove all of it? Well, which isn't true. I mean, you wouldn't. It's not end all. It's not one or the other. But anyway, you would want to improve what you can. I mean, you'd pick and choose the best content. I mean, we've got stuff that was because we were a news site. We actually had content that was talking about the latest updates to MySpace.
So, but why do you think, and maybe this is just the language that he used because he was feeling that way, but why the term not safe as opposed to, you know, don't do this, it's better to do this? Not safe is very specifically a almost a warning, right?
But it's actually not, that's not verbatim from Gary. That's from Gianluca.
Who knows if that's verbatim?
Well, I don't have it here.
They had to,
Alan Bleiweiss actually says, and I'd take him a little more, perhaps, I don't know. He says, it is better to improve pages instead of just no indexing them. So right. I think there's some issues there with just the wording. But it made for a good title.
Yes, it
got
did.
Your attention.
Made us talk about it, right?
Yeah. All right, next up here. Google adds some local area services back into local results. So for those that don't know, when you're adding your local business into Google, you have a couple options. One, if you have a business that is out of your home, let's say you don't want people to know where you live, you can just specify a service area. Excuse me. A service area, which is, let's say, a radius of 20 kilometers or whatever that is, miles, I don't know. But you would hopefully show up in search results. However, there was a time that you wouldn't, or at the very least, you would be significantly
Disadvantaged.
Thank you. Disadvantaged over people who had a physical location they were willing to show. Well, Google has made a lot of people happy with who have service area business because they've plopped them back into local results. Unfortunately, that has come along with some spam. What a shocker.
Surprise.
Yeah. If you don't have a physical address, it's pretty easy to say, I work in this area. Well, and then how does Google say you do or don't? It's a lot harder to police spam that way. Not to say it's not possible. There's a lot of indicators. But for example, Joy Hawkins, who we've had on the show before, and actually she will be on our next show, is mentioned that she managed to find that out of 28 home security business listings, she removed 17 or had 17 removed that were obviously spam or ones that were not justifiably in that market. She also notes that keywords and business titles are still weighed way too heavily. So these sites that are spamming, actually trying to get better rankings for really no reason in this case, because they don't actually exist there, are doing it. They're actually kicking out other businesses because they happen to have more keywords in the business title, which is InfoSeek days of SEO. I mean, good God.
Yeah. Well, local search spam is one of the most prevalent right now that I see on a regular basis. Maybe it's because that's where I spend a lot of time debugging stuff, but I see it there all the time. But I also want to make sure we're clear about what a service area business is, right? Service area business is not specifically because you're a home-based business and you don't want your address to show, right?
Yeah,
a service area business, Google defines it as a, and this is paraphrasing because I don't have the exact wording in front of me, but basically, if you're going to the client's location to perform a service, that's a service area business. So that could be caterers, lawn care people, plumbers, electricians, anywhere where you're going to your client to perform the service can be classified as a service area business.
Yeah. Let's see here. Service area businesses. I'll get a quote here. So you love it when you go to the page. It's supposed to describe it, and it must be in their description because it's not on the page. Okay, here. Not all local businesses serve their customers from a brick-and-mortar storefront. Some businesses operate from a home address. Others are mobile and don't have a storefront that customers visit. If your business serves customers at their locations, you should list it as a service area business on Google. There you go. Yeah, yep. Nailed it, buddy. Okay. All right. So you got to get them once in a while, right? Okay. Google testing mobile first index in the wild. All right.
So it's coming. We know it's coming. I think last I heard, we're supposed to expect it first quarter of next year. And so that's still with a grain of salt. But they are testing it in the wild, which is a good signal for the timeline, right? So the idea that, you know, the mobile first index is happening. And there's also now a... who was it? I think it was Barry wrote a simple, had a thing about how to test to see if your site is being tested for the mobile first index. And it really only applies if you have an MDOT or you're using a separate mobile version of your site. So if you're unresponsive, it's not going to matter. You're not going to be able to see or tell. But if you have an MDOT or a subdomain, a second version of your site that's built and maintained specifically for mobile still, which if you do, stop that. But for, there's some businesses that they don't have a choice. They have to do that, and I get that. But if you're looking
at... Not that you're biased.
Not that I'm biased, no. But if you do have that, shame on you. But if you do have that...
We crack ourselves up, really.
I know. If you have different title tags or meta description tags on the mobile version versus the desktop version, you will see the mobile version of the title tag of a page in Google's search index when you search for a page, if they're testing the mobile first index and your site's caught up in that test. So if you have the same title on both versions, you're not going to be able to tell, right? But that's the way to tell if you're in the mobile first index test. If you have different versions of the titles on the two different versions of your site and the mobile version of the title is showing up in the SERP results, you're in the test.
There you go. All right. Another element of news here from Gary Ish. He's been talking. Okay.
He was going on at State of Search. I guess he was just, they got him talking. He was in a mood.
That's good. It's good. Hopefully they don't just change. Like, for example, that thing about content pruning. it was actually something they mentioned in the article that it was something he said you could do not long ago.
Years, like in 2015, he's like, yeah, you could do that.
Yeah, good. Anyway.
That's supposed to show this stuff changes all the time, period. Right?
Exactly. That's what keeps us employed.
Exactly.
All right. So Google is saying that it's better to have comments on your site than on social networks. I'm assuming this is from commentary on articles, like comments.
Right. And what got me about this, again, there was this one trigger word or trigger phrase in there, and I put it down here. Gary said that comments are better on site for engagement signals for SEO than moving to social. Yeah. So we talk a lot about engagement, you know, in digital marketing. We talk about it in SEO all the time. But the first thing you think of when you think engagement in most cases is social, right? But there's always been engagement on websites. And it used to be a big thing to talk about building up a community on your site and having a lot of interaction on your site. And people don't talk about that as much anymore because of social. But I think this really, to me, triggers back that old mentality that we used to have all the time about making sure that you have community on your site. There's engagement signals coming from your site as well. Because that used to be a real hot topic to talk about all the time. And I don't think we've talked about it as an industry in years.
It's true. Yeah. So it's nice to get the odd indicator out there that backs up some proper SEO. Well, at least, yeah. All right. So let's take a quick break. We got, when we come back, we got something about Giphy, of all things, and a couple questions.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
There are over 70 million active podcast listeners in the U.S.
WebmasterRadio.fm reaches them all
with the largest global distribution of any online business-to-business podcast network. Through iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, we can target and place your message in front of those active listeners immediately. Now, your message can be delivered with less commitment and investment on over 20 hours of weekly original content hosted by the most respected names in digital marketing. Email sales at webmasterradio.fm today and get your message delivered now.
Do you look at the task of ranking your site at the top of the search engines like you would climbing the top of Mount Everest? It doesn't have to be. TopSEOs.com knows how hard that climb can be, and they can make top ranking a reality. TopSEOs send you to only the right search vendors and agencies that they know will work for you. Since 2002, TopSEOs.com has reviewed and researched the best search engine marketing agencies and solutions providers. Don't risk the cost of falling off the proverbial peak of search rankings. Let TopSEOs give you peace of mind. TopSEOs.com, the independent authority on search vendors.
WebmasterRadio.fm is the destination for education, entertainment, and engagement. Engage with our panel of on-air experts and peers by following us on Facebook, Google+, Twitter, and LinkedIn. You can listen to WebmasterRadio.fm on air or on demand from our website or through iTunes, Stitcher, or however you get your podcasts. Interact and stay informed. Just search for WebmasterRadio.fm.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on WebmasterRadio.fm, hosted by John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Local, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. I love this.
Yeah, this you put hilarious. This down,
but go ahead.
So this is kind of funny because Giphy is a website, if you guys aren't familiar with it, that really has big collections of animated GIFs. And it's a pretty big site, and they've got thousands and thousands and thousands of animated GIFs. And they were being interviewed by a major publication. And the founder or whoever is being interviewed basically said, "We own the phrase happy birthday on Google." They was just bragging about their rankings. "We own it. We're number one. If somebody types in happy birthday, we own it." Within 24 hours, they had gotten hit by Google, and happy birthday, they were like the bottom of the second page or maybe the third page. And it literally is like rank bragging, just like there's no absolute correlation, but it's just hilarious, the coincidence that this guy is bragging about this and the next day they get nailed and they lose their rankings for that very term.
Yeah, I don't even see him on the first page anymore.
Yeah, so it's like the moral of the story is rank bragging in public can have consequences.
It's kind of creepy, isn't it?
Like, it is.
It's devastating. Like, you're nowhere.
There's no way we can prove there's any correlation or causation at all, but coincidence is.
Sorry, I take it back. I do see them at number 9. I thought it was a video, but no, it is there.
Oh, so they're back on number 9. Interesting.
But just the same.
Funny, yeah.
All right, so we have a question here from Carl. Now, Carl said he had a hole in his heart because we hadn't been on online for a while. So
offline as well. He mentioned in his comment that he had been out, and we're glad to have him back because he used to ask a lot of questions and be really active in the community, and I'm glad he's back.
Yes, there we go. So he says, I just started as a marketing coordinator for a local company that has several different businesses. They own several different assisted living centers. They have 3 different locations, and they are not part of each other. They do not have the hours posted on their Google My Business page. I want to set these hours, but I'm not 100% what hours to post. There is someone there always, 24/7, to answer calls for emergency. Should I post those hours or hours when they are more staffed for tours and general questions? Okay, so I got a little confused there because if there's 3 different locations, do they not have 3 different business pages? They should.
I think they should. If they don't, they definitely should.
But either way, I guess the same question arises. Which one do you call? I would probably not put the emergency number. But then again, I don't know. I might want to read up on that.
No, to the hours is a pretty simple answer to this question. So you want to put the business hours. So if they're only open for business, if I can only walk in, if it's an assisted living center, right? If I could only come in during certain hours of the day and bring my grandma in to get her registered and checked in, those are the business hours that you list on your business profile. The 24/7 emergency, the person is there for emergencies and calls, that's not business hours. That's like, think of it as like support hours, you know, assisted support.
Good way of putting it. I like it.
Yeah. So just do the business hours for sure.
Okay. This next question, I think we covered it in the last show, didn't we?
I think we had it listed on the last show, but I don't know if we actually had a chance to get to it.
Yes, we did cover this. It was the PPC or SEO, which one's the best option for increasing businesses? And I remember us talking about how they're excellent in coordination and such like that. So anyone else, if you want to hear the answer to that, you can go to the end of our last episode, which I believe there's a bit of a delay getting up, but it will be online very soon. So you can check that out. Well,
that was our sneaky way to go to get you to listen to 2 shows instead of just 1 this week.
There you go. Well, hey, they're all listening to them, aren't they? Heart stopping if they didn't. Okay. So, with that said, on behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Local, thank you for joining us today. If you have any questions you'd like to share with us, please feel free to post them on our Google Plus community page, easily found by searching SEO 101 on Google. Have a great week, and remember to tune into future episodes, which air at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, every Monday on webmasterradio.fm. Thank you.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.